And welcome into a Wednesday Inside the Jaguars. J.P. Shadrick joined by Jeff Lagerman and John Osier on Cincinnati Week. The Jaguars were back on the practice field today. First day on the field in preparation for the Bengals this coming Sunday at Everbank Field. Big news today, John. Don't look now, but this offensive line might be healthy.
Yeah, it started to look like a full team again today. You had Cameron Bradfield in full pads, Evan Britton out there in full pads. And after walking out there for a few weeks and having those guys on the bike, it was a good sight to see.
Now, it will be nice for head coach Mike Markey when he has a game day that he's determining actives and inactives based on game plan and what the opponent is instead of who do I have available.
Yeah, it's been really a couple guys, game time decisions on guys, pregame workouts, then he's had to figure that out.
Well, and then you want to get past that. You know, you want to have, first of all, you always want to have your frontline guys. But really, if you can have the ability to play the guys that suit the game, I think it puts you at a little bit of an advantage versus an opponent that, you know, may not be able to do that, which the Jaguars are falling in that latter category, and that they're not able to do that.
Also of note today, LaRon Robinson, Montel Owens, Kevin Rutland, all guys who had concussion tests, they were back out there working limited, but it looks like they're going to be able to go.
Great news. Let's talk Cincinnati now. This is an offensive-based team. They can throw the ball all over the yard, and they have a couple of second-year guys that are among the best second-year guys in the league.
Well, and I think they also have one of the better offensive coordinators in the league in Jay Gruden. They've got the eighth-ranked offense, fourth in the National Football League in passing, and it really starts with I think, that wide receiver core, because it does just start and end with A.J. Green. I mean, you've got Hawkins, the smaller stature guy, Armand Benz, Jermaine Gresham at tight end, and, of course, Andy Dalton, who's the fourth-rated passer in the National Football League. There's so many different weapons, and this is a little nugget here that I didn't know this until digging a little bit deeper. Do you know that A.J. Green does not have a catch on third down? He does not have a catch on third down. He's only been targeted twice, but yet he's second in the National Football League in receiving. That's a phenomenal number.
Well, and it's significant because it shows you there are other guys. They're having success. So other people are stepping up. Watching them, they are fast, a wide receiver.
They do a lot of different things on offense. Like you said, they run some end-arounds. They throw the ball everywhere.
Wildcat.
Absolutely.
I mean, they do a lot. And, you know, and the smaller stature guy, Hawkins, he does that gadget-type play look. You know, but holy cow, the first play of the game against the Washington Redskins last week, they come out in a Wildcat formation with a draft pick wide receiver lined up deep to get the shotgun snap, and they throw a 73-yard bomb to A.J. Green, you know, with Andy Dalton split out to the right. I mean, great play design because the safety came into the line of scrimmage area, you know, was thinking run, mm-hmm. Wildcat, and it didn't happen. All of a sudden, and you're like, whoa, look at that.
A guy like A.J. Green can really change a defensive scheme and move a lot of guys to his side and change the way you look defensively, right?
Yes, it can change, but, you know, fortunately for the Jaguars, you've got Derek Cox mm-hmm. back. I mean, that was so big in last week's ball game. Rasheen and him starting now, at least they started the game. They both didn't finish the game because Derek got a little bit winded. But watching the film and watching that football team at Indianapolis, the amount of coverages that they played was dramatically different than what they were able to do early on, or at least Mel Tucker felt more comfortable calling stuff that was more man. When you have flexibility and you can do different things defensively, scheme-wise, boy, does it help you out.
And just for the eye test, Rasheen Mathis, Derek Cox, you watched them. Both were able to break on the ball in a hurry at times the other day, and that's been lacking so far.
On the defensive side, Cincinnati has allowed a lot of points this year, guys, and has really had trouble stopping the run. And that's a strength of the Jaguars' offense, and that could be a key on Sunday.
Well, it's kind of surprising because the Bengals last year had a very good defense, one of the better-ranked defenses in the league. They've had some injuries coming out of preseason, but the one thing that they know how to do, rush the passer.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, and they have, what, 12 sacks, six in the last game, right?
You have a defensive end with four, a defensive tackle with three, and then they're just getting back, you know, one of your best pass rushers in their left defensive end. So a defense that's certainly capable, and I think one of their strengths is they have a veteran secondary. You got Terrence Newman back there along with Adam Jones, who is actually getting playing time now. One of their corners, Leon Hall, is a little bit banged up. Clements is a veteran guy that's been around for a while. He's played corner, and he's been playing some safety. But when you've got a veteran unit like that, you know, and Mike Zimmer is a defensive coordinator, he's probably comfortable playing a lot of different things because it's a pretty deep secondary.
And one thing to kind of, you know, kind of counteract that, sounds like Bradfield's got a chance to be back. From what Mike Mularkey said, that means Mercedes Lewis could be a lot more involved in the passing offense. So, again, having guys back will allow the Jaguars some means to attack that a little better.
Such is the chess match.
Always is. Well, let's talk about one of the real positive things of this season. On Sunday, Fred Taylor will be inducted into the pride of the Jaguars, the team's ring of honor here at Everbank Field. Boy, Freddie T, certainly the best back in this franchise's history, and the second player to go in the pride. You had a chance to cover him here, John. This is a great honor for Fred.
Well, I covered him his first 3 years, and it sort of goes without saying anybody who knows Fred, watched Fred, has followed this team for a long time, knows what an absolute class act he is. An interesting story, I had a sports editor of mine, and I think 2 games into his career, I think Fred had gained about 50 yards. He called me that week saying, "We need a Fred Taylor as a bust story." Well, the next week, James Stewart goes out. Fred rushes around 144 yards. Fortunately, I never had to write that story, and it's pretty evident he was not a bust.
He is by far one of the most talented players. Thoroughly enjoyed watching him grow as a player from the time that he was in that training room in 1998, which was my last year playing, and was literally in tears because he had an injury and he thought he was going to get cut as a top 10 pick in the first round, to watching him grow into the man that he is today and the player that he became. One of the most electric running backs in that era, and a guy that every time he touched the ball, he could go the distance in the snap of a finger.
It's sort of a cliche, but you always hear, well, this guy's a better person than he was a player. Fred is.
No, it is. Both of them pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The person and the player. Fred, great guy.
Guys, thanks a lot. We'll get ready some more for the Bengals tomorrow on Inside the Jaguars.